The Fan. And you are in the zone on The Fan. Who's excited? Who's excited? It's hockey day, Minnesota. Oh boy, just the voice you want to hear on hockey day, Minnesota. I'm Dave Sinekin. Yeah, I know. Here's the good news. You only have to deal with me for an hour today, and then the real hockey stuff will kick in. I'm Dave Sinekin, normally my partner, the professor of Hoopology, Double T, would be with me. He's out today because, after all, it is Hockey Day, Minnesota. I believe he's up in Blaine with his son for a hockey tournament this morning. Split duties, one kid's in Roseau, one kid's in Blaine. You know how the game works if you're a parent that's active kids. So Double T out today. It's actually not the worst week for him to miss. We only have 1 hour. We're here from 8 to 9. And to be honest, not going to talk a whole lot of hoops today because it's the most wonderful time of the year. And no, not because it's Hockey Day Minnesota, but because it's the best NFL weekend of the season. Four incredible matchups. And that's what's going to be the topic du jour for this hour. We'll get to those games, obviously, shortly. I want to touch on some hoops quickly, briefly at the top. And let's give you the lowdown on what you'll hear on The Fan today, because it is an unusual Saturday. It's just jam-packed, chock-full, but it's not all hockey. You got me, 8 to 9, in the zone. Then, Beyond the Pond from Mankato, Fallness Micheletti in Mankato. Brett Blakemore, what's happening in Mankato? Why are they in Mankato?
So, Mankato is where Hockey Day Minnesota is. It's the outdoor rink. So, on campus, they made an outdoor rink. They're going to have games literally starting from 9 all the way through the Wild game, hockey around the clock on BSN.
Are we talking high school, college, mixture?
So Andover versus Edina girls at 9:30. Oh. East Grand Forks, Prior Lake at 1. The Gophers, or I take that back, Minnesota State plays St. Thomas at 4:30. Then the Wild play the Blackhawks at 8. Wall-to-wall hockey for Hockey Day Minnesota.
Oh, goody. So 9,
your favorite.
9 to 10:30. Beyond the Pond on The Fan. Then we get you ready for some Gophers basketball. They're back in action after a COVID pause. Be a half-hour pregame at 10:30. They will tip it off shortly after 11 from the barn against the dangerous Rutgers Scarlet Knights, who have been very impressive this season, led by Ron Harper Jr. They've had some big wins. This is not going to be, you know, usually you look at Rutgers at home and you go, all right, when do we play Nebraska and Rutgers? We can mark those as W's. That's not the case with Rutgers. I think I saw Gophers favored by 1.5 today. So going to be a tricky one. Maybe knock the rust off a little bit. Hopefully they got some kids back who've been out with COVID issues. But we will have Gophers Rutgers at 11 on The Fan today. And following that game, it'll be the first NFL playoff game, the AFC game in Nashville between the Bengals and Titans. And then that game is followed by Wild Blackhawks Part deux, after your Wild annihilated, embarrassed, toyed with the Chicago Blackhawks last night in a 5-1 victory. That was at United Center, correct?
Correct. So that was in Chicago.
Home and home. They're back at it tonight Wild and Blackhawks at the X tonight. You'll hear it right here on the Home of the Wild, beginning at 7-ish, 7:30, 7. If you want to listen to the Packer game, yes, they play tonight. Packers Niners will be heard on the Plus, KFAN Plus. It's like 96.7. Catch the first quarter and then flip over to the Wild. So a full day on the Fan as usual. I'll say right now, we have an hour. This is not going to be Packer preview, but the final 20 minutes is going to be pretty darn close to it. We're going to preview Packers Niners in the final segment today and give it more attention than the other three games. And I think for obvious reasons. This really is a fun weekend. I mean, you think about the long season and the, you know, the fact that there's only 7 games left in the playoffs, and 4 of them are this weekend. You know, after this weekend, the dust clears. We're playing for championships next Sunday, and then you got your Super Bowl. So it all ends right there. I am riding a high a little bit from what I've witnessed on Thursday night as my Hoosiers took down Purdue and stormed the court and got a very unexpected victory. I just did not see it coming, and it was just such a long time coming. If you know anything about that rivalry, Purdue had beaten Indiana 9 straight times. And when I saw Mike Woodson, the head coach, walk out in a suit, I knew the chances were actually pretty good. They're now 13-0 when he wears a suit, and 0-4 when he wears warm-ups. It seems like pretty clear what he should be doing. But what made that game so crazy and unexpected was their All-American barely played, and they still took down Purdue. It's been a wild year in the Big Ten. Last night, Illinois gets pounded by Maryland, who's terrible this year. Now, they didn't have their All-American, Kofi Coburn, and they were coming off a double overtime game against Purdue Monday and then had to travel. But Maryland destroys Illinois, and then Wisconsin gets bludgeoned at home by Michigan State. So two contenders in the Big Ten lose double digits at home in games they were expected to win. Now, Michigan State's always dangerous, but they're not, and they're ranked and all that. I don't think they are an elite team, but they had about a week off to get ready off a loss, and Coach Izzo had them ready. So just a surprising night in Big Ten basketball last night, and we'll see if the Gophers can right the ship and get a big win at home. These home games are so important, and as I said, Rutgers is no pushover. The Wolves are going through a little bit of a pause, not really a pause, but just no games here for a few days after the meltdown in Atlanta, which I missed. I was in Madison that night. What night was that? Was that Wednesday night, I think? So I missed the whole meltdown. I saw they were up double digits at halftime in Atlanta, pretty impressive, and then Trae Young and the Hawks take over, and that was it. So they're back in action tomorrow against the Brooklyn Nets. And then they head out west for a really tough slate at Portland, which is the one they have to win, at Golden State, at Phoenix. And then Utah comes to town. So the Wolves at 22-23, you've got to stay around that 500 mark. So they got to get these next two are really important, I think. You know, Brooklyn at home, without Kevin Durant. Portland, not very good this year. Even Golden State, the way they're playing right now, is winnable. So this is a big week for the Wolves, and Double T and I will catch up on that next Saturday. But this weekend is all about football, and I want to just start with the latest on the Vikes, because news was made last night when they identified, it sounds like, 2 finalists for the GM job. It's been a very interesting week and a half or so with teams interviewing GM candidates and coaches all over the board, and there's really been nothing until the Giants finally announced their new general manager yesterday, I think it was. And it sounds like the Vikings will probably make their decision here by midweek. The 2 finalists, Ryan Poles out of Kansas City and Kwesi Adofo-Mensah from the Browns. I think Poles' second interview is Tuesday. Adofo-Mensah's is Wednesday. And you'd have to think at that point they make their decision and maybe announce Wednesday or Thursday on who the guy is. Really interesting candidates, both a gentleman of color, both gentlemen young. I think Poles is 40 and Adofo-Mensah is 36. He is the Browns VP of football operations. Poles' title is executive director of player personnel. Very different backgrounds. Poles has been with the Chiefs like since college. You know, like he came out of college and got like an intern job, and he's been there for 23 years. Or is it just 16 years, I think? Yeah, 23 would make him 17 when he started. I think 16 years with Kansas City. He's kind of been a lifer with that organization. Whereas Adolfo Mensah was trading on Wall Street like 3 years ago and decided for a career switch, got into football. And what a fast career track that, you know, he's a GM candidate after just two or three seasons in the NFL. I think he was a college basketball player at Princeton. So two interesting candidates. It sounds like they will land on one. Both also interviewing for other jobs. I think Chicago has talked to one or both as well. So, you know, they're not the only suitors. But once they get that hire in place, then all attention turns to the head coach. And I kind of like what they've done. They've started talking to people. My guess is once they identify their GM, they'll say, all right, we're down to like three, four, five guys that we like and we want to bring back. And now you're part of this process. I want you to sit in. You ask your questions. You listen. And clearly that GM needs to and should have input on the coach that he believes would work best in concert with him. So that's going to be the talking point, I would think. When we're sitting here next Saturday, it's going to be, all right, here's the GM. Congrats to him. Now, where are they going to turn for coach? I think next week, not this coming week. I think there might be a couple coaching hires this coming week, but I think the following week is when we're going to see a lot of them fill up. And there's still a bunch to fill. But that's my hunch is we'll see the GM named late this week and maybe the coach a week later, maybe late the following week. It's just such a time of just, as a Viking fan, you're just like, what's going to happen? I'm familiar with that. You know, it's just everything's up in the air. You know, you just don't have any idea what direction your program's going to take. But you know it's a new direction, and that's a good thing. It was a much-needed thing, especially after the reports of kind of a toxic environment. Toxic might be too strong a word, but just not a very cohesive environment inside a TCO Center, it sounds like, these last few years. And so maybe a breath of fresh air from the top is exactly what this organization needed. So keep an eye on that. But it looks like the wheels are turning, and they are getting closer as they've identified the two finalists for that job. All right, we'll break here. When we come back, I've got some interesting gambling thoughts on this weekend. Some very, I found interesting statistics and trends when it comes to divisional round weekend in the NFL, if you're interested in those sort of things. And we will break down the AFC games, the weekend AFC games, beginning with Bengals-Titans today, and then, of course, the massive one tomorrow night, Bills and Chiefs. We'll talk about those two games when we come back. Phone calls available if you want to chat some NFL. Happy to have you. 651-989-5326, 800-320-5326. The AFC playoffs are on my mind when we come back on the Fan.
iHeartRadio app.
On a Saturday morning, it's Hockey Day, Minnesota, and you're in the zone with Dave Sinekin flying solo today. Just a one-hour edition of In the Zone this morning as we make way for Puck Beyond the Pond, top of the hour at 9. Kevin Faulness, Pat Micheletti, live in Mankato, the center, the hub of hockey activity today that follows this program at 9 o'clock. We're talking NFL, four incredible matchups. In fact, you could argue that this is the best divisional round set of matchups ever. And why do I say that? Well, the combined point spreads of the four games is less than 14. That's never happened before. So that obviously you connect the dots. They're expecting four closely contested games. The biggest spread is tonight's game, Green Bay by 5.5. And second is the first game today, the Titans 3.5. Tomorrow's games are basically coin flips, where the home team, Tampa Bay, is favored by 3, and Kansas City is only favored by 1.5 or 2. And if you are interested in these sort of things, and I can do this since Trent's not here because he couldn't care less about gambling, but I found this interesting as I start to sweat and get nervous about my team's chances. The Super Bowl favorites heading into the postseason and taking on a team that seems to match up well against them. And we'll get to Packers 49ers in our next segment. Over the last 12 years, in this round, the divisional round, the home teams on Saturdays are 21-3 straight up over the last 12 years. Whereas on Sundays, the home teams are just 17-15, which doesn't add up to 24, but I'm not sure where my math went wrong there. But the home teams have dominated on Saturday and not so much on Sunday. Against the spread, 18-6 on Saturday, and the road teams have gone 22-9-1 against the spread on Sundays. Why is that? And maybe the one seeds tend to play on Saturdays and they're bigger favorites. I don't know. But this weekend has been about home teams over the last 10 years. They're 31-9. So generally, the home teams go 3-1 this weekend. So which home team is most vulnerable this weekend? You can argue by the point spreads, it would be Kansas City. And I'll give you my thoughts. I was on with PA on Monday. And my initial read on these games this weekend, early in the week, was I really like the home teams on Saturday, and I really like the road teams on Sunday. I've softened a bit on the Rams-Tampa. We'll get to that one a bit later. But let's start with the AFC and the two matchups coming up from that conference. Obviously, it starts off in Nashville today, the Titans against the Bengals. Of the four games, there's no question this one has the least amount of star power, excitement. It feels like it should be the Saturday afternoon game. Not that it can't be very interesting, and I think it will be. There's a lot of storylines interesting. First of all, Cincinnati. Joe Burrow has it. We talk about the great young AFC quarterbacks coming up, and Mahomes and Josh Allen and Justin Herbert are always the three names, I think, that are thrown out there. Herbert gets the nod over Burrow, I think, because Burrow got hurt late last season, and Herbert put up just, historic numbers for a rookie quarterback. But when it's all said and done, I think Burrow's going to elevate himself in this conversation, into the Mahomes and Allen conversation. Herbert, not so sure, depends on that team and whether they build a defense that helps him out a little bit. But how can you not be a Joe Burrow fan? Because he's just, they're starting to compare him to a young Tom Brady, which is obviously not fair and probably stupid. But the reason they do, I think, is he's got this competitive thing inside of him and this leadership ability where guys just want to fight for him. And you either have that or you don't. And he has that. Not to say the other guys don't. But it's very evident when you listen to that team and that organization talk about Joe Burrow. And coming off the ACL after, last November, I didn't really know what you'd get from Joe Burrow this season. You just never know coming off that injury. But he has been spectacular. And remember draft time, everybody was criticizing the Bengals for ignoring the offensive line and taking the wide receiver that he played with in college to make him happy. That seemed to work out okay. There's so many draft nicks that love to criticize and never comes home to roost. Nobody ever comes back a year, two, 3 years later and go, yeah, still feel that way? Because, man, that seemed like the right idea. It's kind of like, Green Bay taking A.J. Dillon in the second round a couple years ago. Why wouldn't you take a wide receiver? Well, you got Aaron Jones. Well, I'm going to enjoy watching A.J. Dillon tonight in 7-degree temperatures at Lambeau and see how excited Fred Warner is about tackling him. Glad the Packers drafted that kid. And the Bengals are happy they drafted Ja'Marr Chase, who's been spectacular to watch. And so that offense going down into Nashville, I feel like Tennessee is just that hard-nosed, physical, no-nonsense team that nobody really respects. I mean, they are getting zero respect as the one seed, right? I mean, most expect them to take care of Cincinnati, I think. But they're going to be an underdog at home. If they win today, they're going to be an underdog at home no matter who they face. Whether it's Buffalo or Kansas City, that team will be expected and favored to win. And I think Tennessee and Mike Vrabel just love that. I'd love to see Matt LaFleur win Coach of the Year. But if I had one vote and had to vote for one guy, I'm voting for Mike Vrabel. If you think about both these number one seeds have dealt with a ton of injuries this season. Tennessee to lock down that number one seed in the AFC. Losing Derrick Henry midway through the season. They lost their number one draft pick, the cornerback Caleb Farley, early in the season. A.J. Brown and Julio Jones have been in and out of the lineup. They don't have a star quarterback. There are six superstar quarterbacks playing this weekend. The Niners and the Titans don't have them. They have serviceable, above-average quarterbacks. And Tennessee's had to rely on Tannehill and just a bunch of no-names. And it's weird because you see them lose to, like, who'd they lose to? Jacksonville and the Texans? Or is it the Jets and the Texans? They lost to two teams drafting in the top five. Yet they also beat four teams that are still playing. Buffalo, Kansas City, San Francisco. And I'm forgetting one. I know it wasn't Green Bay. They're 4-3 against playoff teams. So they play up and down to the level of competition. And this competition is good. They're going to be ready for Cincinnati. Of the four games, I'm pretty certain about the outcomes today. I'm really uncertain about tomorrow. I'll be very surprised if Tennessee doesn't handle Cincinnati. I think they're going to just punch them in the mouth. The Bengals are a really nice story. I root for them. I want them to be great. And I just feel like they're a year away. Kind of like Buffalo last year felt like they're a year away. You know, going to Arrowhead for the AFC Championship, they're not quite ready for that. That was last year. Obviously, things are a whole lot different this year. I feel like that's where Cincinnati is right now. They're just a year away. They can score, you know, but their offensive line is still not great, and Tennessee can rush the passer and get after Joe Burrow, make him uncomfortable. The question mark is, how much Derrick Henry do we see? He's active. He's off IR. But does anybody think he's going to get 20 touches today? I'd be really surprised. I think they're going to sprinkle him in. And maybe I'm wrong. You know, maybe he was actually ready 3-4 weeks ago, and they've just been waiting. But my hunch is he shares the rock with Deontay Foreman, who's been really good for them the last month or so. And they don't ultimately need a ton of Derrick Henry today. I think Tennessee can handle Cincinnati with, you know, 30% Derrick Henry. Knock the rust off, hit some guys, make some guys miss, show who you are, and get ready for next week, whether it's Kansas City or Buffalo. So I'm bullish on the Titans taking care of business and handling and covering that 3.5-point spread fairly easily. Feels like a 10-plus point win for Tennessee. That's my prediction on that one. Tomorrow night's game, it just, you know, yes, that would be a perfect AFC title game, like it was last year. Didn't work out that way for these two teams. So we get them this weekend. And I don't know how you feel strongly about either side. I'm leaning Buffalo as being the one road team to pull off the win. But, man, do you not trust Patrick Mahomes at home in a playoff game? Do you trust Buffalo? They already went into Arrowhead and crushed Kansas City early in the season. I'm not sure that works for them. Can you do it twice in one year? It doesn't feel like Kansas City's year to me. It didn't feel like either of the Super Bowl teams from last year have it this year. I don't think either of these teams, Tampa Bay, Kansas City, are going to return to the Super Bowl this year. My pre-season pick was Packers-Bills. I always pick the Pack, obviously. Well, not obviously. The last couple years that the LaFleur era kind of flourished. I didn't see either of those Super Bowl teams returning to the big game, and I don't think either of them are going to. Yes, Kansas City seems to have righted the ship. They look dominant, but they didn't play anybody last week. And, I mean, the one game I missed last week was Buffalo's game. We had plans last Saturday night. I did not see Buffalo's basically perfect game against the Patriots. But how do you follow that up? You know, sometimes you worry about everyone saying, oh, my God, that was a perfect game by your quarterback. Your defense, everybody. I mean, it was just, you basically took Bill Belichick's soul last Saturday night. Can you follow that up a week later in Kansas City against the two-time AFC Super Bowl team? You know, I'm going to pick Buffalo in this one, and I think ultimately it's just that defense. I still don't trust Kansas City. The interesting weapon for Kansas City is former Viking Jerick McKinnon, who I think he had like 142 yards of total offense last weekend with Edwards-Helaire and Williams both banged up. he is, we all know the speed, but what, two straight ACLs? He missed two full seasons. And when you rely on your speed, you just wonder if you're ever going to get that back. He looked really quick and becomes an interesting weapon for Andy Reid, Eric Bieniemy, and the Chiefs. So I'll be watching him. But I just don't think Kansas City has an answer for Josh Allen. I think Allen rushes for 60 to 80 yards. He's in a zone right now. Mahomes just still hasn't quite looked 100%. Tyreek Hill's not been 100%. I think it's Buffalo's year. So I'm going to go with Buffalo. Mr. Blakemore, how are you feeling? I've got the Titans, and I've got the Bills winning in the AFC. How are you feeling?
I feel like the Bills are, those are the two trendy, well, the two trendy teams to me are the Bengals and the Bills are kind of the, they're playing the hot, you know, and a lot of people are liking the Bengals against the Titans as if the Titans didn't just get healthy. It didn't just come off a bye week. I don't know. I still kind of like Joe Burrow and it's the trendy pick.
Do you?
But it's hard to doubt a healthy Derrick Henry coming back. That's kind of a scary prospect too. I don't know. To me, Buffalo and Kansas City is kind of a coin flip either which way. If I had to put money on it right now, I'd probably go Titans Chiefs. But really, I could be talked into either way with especially the Chiefs Bills.
Yeah, that's why this weekend's so fun, because all the games are really interesting matchups. And I feel like Cincinnati on the road is not ready for this, is not ready for what that heat's going to feel like. You know, their coach was bar hopping, you know, with the fans this past weekend. They're all excited. They really got over a hump. First playoff win in 31 years. Heading to the road against this team, this well-coached team that's getting no respect. Yeah, I'll be really surprised if Cincinnati hangs with Tennessee. The NFC games are just as, if not more, exciting and alluring. And when we come back, we'll spend a moment, a hot tick, on Rams-Buccaneers. And then we'll dive rather deeply into Niners-Packers as we preview the NFC playoffs final segment in the Zone.
On the Fan.
Back with you, 8:39, final segment. Today's edition of In the Zone, Sinekin solo today. Double T celebrating Hockey Day Minnesota at a hockey tournament with his son. He and I back in studio for the regular two-hour edition next Saturday. We'll make way for Beyond the Pond. Top of the hour, we've got Gophers Hoops at 11 against Rutgers, followed by Bengals Titans and then Wild Blackhawks on the Fan tonight. You can listen to Packers Niners while you're watching the Wild at KFAN Plus 96.7 FM, 7:15 kickoff. Very good vibes if you're a Packer fan. You got Kevin Harlan, whose dad basically built the Packers, present-day Packers, starting in the 90s. James Lofton, his analyst, Packer Hall of Famer. The only thing that's not quite perfect about the arrangement is Nacho Lieber will be on the sidelines. Ben Lieber handling the sideline reporting. Kudos and congrats to him. That's a great gig, great assignment, and what a great place to be is on the sidelines at Lambeau tonight. We'll talk about that game in a moment. Adam Schefter tweet that I saw during the break. 49ers defensive coordinator DeMeco Ryans is scheduled to interview with the Vikings on Sunday. The Raiders also are planning to interview him as well, per sources. So if you are watching or listening to the Niners game tonight, you can pay maybe special attention to see how that defense handles A-Rodge in the pack, because maybe that guy will be the new leader of the purple. They're casting a wide net, of course. And as we said, with them seem to have zeroing in on two GM candidates, maybe that hire comes by the end of this week. Then they'll most likely narrow that head coach search down and bring their favorites back for a second round of interviews with their new GM to listen in and be a part of those conversations. NFC playoffs. We'll start with tomorrow's game, Bucks and Rams. This is the one that I just cannot, I've gone back and forth. I've wrapped my head. I can't figure out what's going to happen in this one. It's so hard to bet against Brady at home in the divisional round. I mean, when's the last time he's lost in the divisional round at home? Maybe never. I don't know. It's probably happened, but maybe not. And do you trust Matthew Stafford on the road? It's interesting. That offense will be without left tackle Andrew Whitworth, who's like 40, but still a pretty functional left tackle and their best option. He's out against a pretty good pass rush. Neither of these quarterbacks really enjoy pressure too much. Neither are very mobile. Neither are very susceptible to pressure up the middle. And that's why I kind of lean Rams, because the Buccaneers' offensive line is a mess. Tristan Wirfs, their right tackle, is unlikely to play. He's an all-pro. Their center, Ryan Jensen, you know, he may give it a shot, but he was really banged up last week. He's got Aaron Donald right across the ball from him. If you got a less than 100% center going up against Aaron Donald, and you got a skittish Matthew Stafford, I see Antoine Winfield taking one away tomorrow. Maybe that's the difference for Tampa. But I just, I find this one fascinating. And we know the Rams beat them early, handled them in L.A. Now it's back in Tampa. You know, I've been leaning Rams all week. But when push comes to shove, it's hard to bet against Tom Brady in this spot at home. Now the Rams are coming on. And what really impressed me last week was the return of Cam Akers, who, you know, tears his Achilles in August. That's a 12-month deal. And here he is. I mean, he looked fast and quick, and he's running routes going downfield as a receiver. So he's, you know, close to 100%. And that's a huge shot in the arm to that offense. That, yeah, Sony Michel was a nice story the last 4 or 5 weeks, and he'll still get some run. I think Daryl Henderson's back off IR as well. So they've gotten pretty deep at running back, and that's sort of been the weakness of their offense this season, is effectively running the ball consistently. And now suddenly OBJ has become a real target for Stafford as well. You know that Cooper Kupp's going to get a ton of attention, but you got to pay attention to OBJ, especially when you get in the red zone area. And that, you know, that touchdown last week was pretty special. So tough call for me. It's a coin flip. I mean, gun to my head, I'd probably take Tom Brady and say, all right, you beat Brady, you've proven something. But I could make a real cogent case for either of these two teams. That's tomorrow. That's the first game on a Sunday, which I'm guessing the fan will have for you as well. Packers, Niners tonight. Single digits, 8-9 degrees at kickoff. Packers favored by 5.5 points. The number one seed. Haven't played a meaningful game since the Vikings game, week 17. And we all know there wasn't a whole lot of competition there because Sean Mannion was the quarterback. You know, Green Bay was coming off a harrowing Christmas Day win over Cleveland that wasn't real pretty, and they allowed Nick Chubb to run all over them. So then you're thinking, all right, well, here comes Dalvin Cook, and the Packers bottled him up, but with no real threat of a passing game. I'm not sure how excited I was that the running defense has turned a corner. We'll find out tonight. That's the storyline in this game. Can the Packers stop the Niners run with Elijah Mitchell and Deebo Samuel? And people all think back to that 2019 championship game where they ran for 280, whatever it was. But this is a different Packers defense. Yes, they've had some problems of late in the run game, but over the course of the season, they are the second best defense in missed tackles. They've missed the second fewest tackles by Pro Football Focus's metrics of any team in the NFL, and largely in part because of All-Pro Devondre Campbell, who will be huge tonight. Because Kyle Shanahan's going to run all kinds of pre-snap movement and gadgety stuff. He saw what Detroit did in Week 18 that confused the Green Bay's defenses. He's going to find a way to get in the ball into Deebo Samuel's hands and Brandon Ayuk's hands and George Kittle's hands. And Green Bay's assignment is to tackle them. As soon as they catch the ball, you tackle them. They're going to get the ball in their hands because Jimmy G is not going to throw the ball more than 10, 15 yards at the most downfield. He's got a bad thumb. He's got a bad shoulder. And it's going to be freezing cold. And Garoppolo has never started a game where the temperature has been under 40 degrees. 40. So, I mean, if it's 28, 26, all right, yeah, that's different. That's cold. I'm not used to this. But it's going to be 8. And he's not 100%. And he's not going to be able to throw the ball deep tonight. Let him try. I'd love to see him try. Because for me, Green Bay's strength is not against a team like this defensively. Green Bay can handle... You know, it was built to go after really good quarterbacks because they've got a great pass rush and three really strong corners, presuming Jaire Alexander returns. I'd love to see them load the box and let those corners deal with the outside guys one-on-one and dare Garoppolo to throw somewhat deep and take your chances. But Joe Barry's defense doesn't typically put eight guys in the box. They play with light boxes. So I'll be curious to see what they do to stop the run, because that's what they wanted. We know this. They want to run the ball, keep Rodgers off the field, control the clock, and if they get 7-8 yards on first down consistently, that plays right into what Shanahan wants to do, because it allows Garoppolo on 2nd and 3 and 3rd and 2 to do whatever he wants, to throw the ball 5 yards. But if you look at Debo, Kittle, and Ayuk together have over 1,500 yards after the catch. Debo is one of the top average per reception guys, catching the shortest balls. I mean, you cannot tackle him. So that's the story for Green Bay. Is you just have to wrap up. They're going to get their yards. Don't let them get them in chunks. Don't let them get them after they catch and make Garoppolo go down the field and have a 10-12 play drive without penalties. One offensive penalty is going to back San Francisco up, put them behind the sticks, and that's not the way they want to play tonight. Packers get back Za'Darius Smith and Whitney Mercilus on the pass rush to sub in for starters Preston Smith and Rashawn Gary. That's huge on a night like this. The question marks? David Bakhtiari, questionable. Didn't practice this week. I think he plays, but I won't be stunned if he doesn't. And Brett, I'll bring you in, because I know you're a big Packer fan, obviously, even though you'll be at the Wild game tonight.
Yeah.
And not watching Packers Niners.
I'll be watching, but intermittently during whistles, probably.
Wow.
I'll have it on. Here's the thing. I'm kind of the opposite of you, because I'm supremely confident in the Bucks. Even a wounded Bucks, I'm confident they can beat this Rams team. I mean, Stafford's going to give them chances to win. He threw how many picks against the Vikes in a game where they had to win here at US Bank, a Vikes defense that wasn't anything to write home about at the time. He threw horrible interceptions. It's what he does.
And you don't think Garoppolo's capable of the same thing? That's what he does.
Well, he's
a turnover machine.
And you've actually convinced me a little. You've eased my concerns a little bit. And I'm not shaking in my boots even before you convinced me. But now it's a little bit. I think it's going to be closer than people think, which is going to be scary. And there's going to be the Twitter mob that, here it comes. Here's the Packers. The wheels are falling off. They'll probably pull it out eventually. But no, I'm confident in the Bucks that if the Packers win, the Bucks will be there in Lambeau.
Yeah, I think that's ultimately what it is. It's Brady at Lambeau part two. Concerns for me, special teams, obviously. Green Bay is dead last in special teams. They seem to have gotten their act together of late. Who's going to return punts? David Moore was good for a week. I think it was the Viking game. Then he got banged up, kind of a cheap shot in that game, knocked him out. He's on the practice squad. They have not activated him. So as of now, it's Amari Rodgers or Randall Cobb or Chandon Sullivan returning punts. It's been a black hole for Green Bay. And obviously got to be careful on returns and just take care of business on special teams. They've been terrible on special teams. No Valdez-Scantling definitely hurts the offense. That's your deep threat. That's the guy you can just send deep. And the Niners have to at least pay attention to him, because Rodgers can take the ball over the top. You can beat this Niners team with deep throws. That's what Green Bay did in the Week 3 matchup when they jumped out to a 17-0 lead. Big-time passes. Davante Adams owns the 49ers. In 4 matchups, he averages 10 catches, 120 yards, and more than one touchdown. He will get his no matter what they do to try to take him away from this Packers offense. So they got that. Randall Cobb back. The last time we saw Randall Cobb in the Rams game, he had 4 catches for 95 yards and a touchdown in the first half. 95 yards in the first half. Hurts his groin, out, hasn't played since. Now he's back and becomes a huge third down weapon, red zone weapon. We know the chemistry between those two. And Alan Lazard, the last 4 or 5 weeks, has the second most touchdowns of anybody in the NFL. And he has the most touchdowns of any receiver in the NFL, not named Davante Adams. Those two have been clicking with Rodgers. But they have to run the football. And the Niners are good against the run, but in the first matchup, Jones went 18 for, I think, 92 or 82. And Dylan's going to be a big factor in this weather. And we'll see how 100% Fred Warner is. You know, the big story is Bosa and Warner are going to play. Bosa cleared concussion protocol, so he should be 100%. Warner's ankle is not 100%. And it's going to be freezing cold. And he's a beast. He's a fantastic tackling linebacker. But we'll see if he can go 60 minutes and deal with that running attack and bringing down guys across the middle. Let's welcome Dave from Shakopee, a regular Packer preview caller, checking in on game day. How you doing, Dave?
I'm doing well. Earlier in the week, people are asking me, am I scared that we're playing the 49ers? And, you know, at first I said, you know, I was. The 49ers are a good team. They're hot right now. They've probably played as well as anybody in the league, including the Packers. But, you know, the thing has learned that the Packers are a pretty darn good football team. And, you know, I expect the Pack to be ready tonight. And you kind of mentioned on Garoppolo and the 49ers running the ball. I see them running the ball pretty much the whole 60 minutes. But when they, you know, and then they have that play action. But if Green Bay can shut down the play action, you know, Garoppolo is prone to mistakes. We've seen them here and there. And if Green Bay capitalizes on those mistakes, the Pack will win. And also, this week, the players passed LaFleur in the hallway, and they said hi to each other. And LaFleur and Gutekunst said hi to each other. So that's always a good thing.
It's always a good thing. Thanks for the call. I'm with you there. I look at the big picture here. I am concerned about the start. Green Bay is only averaging 3 points in the first quarter of the season, and they've not played for a while in a meaningful game. A real nice key to this game would be getting a lead against San Francisco, right? When they're playing from behind, they can't just sit there and control the clock. And so Green Bay needs to come out fast, something they have not done this season. But they're going to take the ball away from San Francisco in these conditions with that quarterback and that secondary. You get Jair Alexander back. Yes, he's questionable. We don't know how much he'll play. But just getting him on the field, along with Douglas and Stokes, they've got three corners they feel really good about. And so I look at it like this. Green Bay's lost two games this season when Rodgers started and finished. One was the opener against the Saints where they were just not ready, and one was the Vikings game, which, you know, an interception by Darnell Savage in his hands, and that goes the other way, and now they've only lost one game. They're unbeaten at home. The Niners have been on the road six times in the last 8 weeks. The magical Cinderella run ends. My blog, theheadcheese.com, breaks it down. I'll be back tomorrow morning for Packer Review. Is the Rodgers era over? Is that what we'll be talking about? Or do we decide, would we rather face Aaron Donald or Tom Brady in the NFC title game? It's the greatest time of the year. It's a great weekend of NFL football. Enjoy the football. Enjoy Hockey Day, Minnesota as well. For Brett Blakemore, I'm Dave Senekin. Have a wonderful weekend. Stay tuned. Beyond the Pond is next. Peace out. What a day.